Let's be encouraged by the word of God. And so a blessing to be in the house of the Lord. Let's go to John chapter 16, book of John chapter 16. And a very simple title tonight, don't be offended. Don't be offended. And of course, you know, we live in a time and certainly social media environment where certainly everyone is offended about everything. But of course, biblical in the Bible context, being offended is more than just getting, you know, your feelings hurt. Now, certainly it starts with our feelings getting hurt. We are emotional beings, and that's how it is. But it goes beyond that. And so, bottom line, don't be offended. And certainly, don't stay offended. You know, we are in the flesh. We shouldn't get offended, but that happens, and we do sometimes. And if we do, at least don't stay offended, right? Repent and get restored. But let's go to John chapter 16. So here's kind of the context. Jesus is I won't say preaching, but he's speaking intimately to his disciples. Again, this is no longer part of his public ministry. He's not preaching to the, you know, crowds in general. He's speaking really 1-on-12, you know, with his disciples. And so he speaks to them in verse 1, John chapter 16. So very intimate. You know, and he certainly, you know that he does not want his disciples to be offended. He knows there's going to be great storms that come to shake them up, and he wants them to hang in there, stay faithful. So go to verse 1 with me. The Bible says this, "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, what a blessing to be in thy house. Thank you, Father, for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for your word. Thank you that we've been redeemed, that the old account has been settled, the day that we got saved, that it has been purged white as snow, Lord. And Lord, thank you for saving our souls, Lord. And thank you for the amazing grace that saved a wretch like me. And so, Father, we give you all the praise for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, now as new, you know, creations, new creatures in Christ, not to be offended, Lord. We know that offenses will come. That's just, you know, the nature of this cursed world. Help us not to be offended. Help us not to stay offended. And Father, we love you. Speak to hearts even tonight, Lord, and we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. God loves us as the Lord, of course, loves his disciples here. God loves you. And God never wants us to be offended, and he never wants us to stay offended. That's why he gives us his word. Again, that's what Jesus emphasizes. These things have I spoken, meaning his word, God's holy word. He's spoken to us his word, and we have it, so that we don't have to be offended. Amen. And Jesus, he knows, of course, he's about to be arrested, humiliated, tortured, crucified. He knows he's going to die. And he knew it would be a great, seeing this happen to their Lord, would be a great offense to his disciples. I mean, they would take offense to that. It would cause them to be offended. And again, let me back up a little bit here. Again, when we use the word offended, not so much like today, I'm offended at, you know. And in the biblical context of being offended means to stumble out of the way of truth, to fall out of God's will, to get tripped up and spiritually fall into sin, okay, to be offended in that sense, that's what it means. And yes, of course, it certainly does include getting our feelings hurt, which, you know, that's part of that. And oftentimes, being offended in this context can start with our hurt feelings, but it goes beyond that. Again, it weakens our faith, it hardens our heart with pride, you know, and leads to, well, unless we repent and get right, it leads to resentment, and we can harbor bitterness. I mean, this is what happens when we get offended from a scriptural context. The bottom line, God does not want us to be offended nor to stay offended, and you know, sometimes we have. You know, things in our life, scars in our life that some we just can't get over. Perhaps, well, I got picked on back in grade school and I've been bitter and insecure ever since. You know, I hope that's not the case. Or someone really said something hurtful to me at one point when I invited them to church and they kind of snapped back at me and cut me down. And that happened back in the 90s. And so I proudly not invited anyone to church ever since. All right. Well, no, don't get stuck, right? Don't get jaded. Don't get cynical. Being offended, of course, is, you know, it's like coming up to a speed bump if you're driving, you know, and how do we say it? We got to get over it, right? Don't go up and, fall back down. And I'm still offended. And by the way, it's amazing how Scripture says it. Look how Jesus says it. that he's spoken these things unto you, that ye should not be offended. And it's not just getting offended, it's being offended. So in other words, it's a state of being. It's not something we quote-unquote get, it's something that we become, which is worse, okay? You know, and the idea is whenever we think that, oh, we're only getting offended, it's a lot more insidious than that. We are becoming something that God doesn't want us to become. And so really to encourage us, put ourselves in the shoes of the disciples. You know, friends, don't be, number one, don't be easily offended. May we not be easily offended. May we have some spiritual fortitude to kind of take the hits because we are strong in our faith, okay? And how much does it take? It kind of got me thinking here. How much does it take to offend me? Again, not just getting my feelings hurt. I wear my heart on my sleeve, and it takes nothing at all to get my feelings hurt. I'm very, very tender. Someone doesn't reply a text promptly, I get hurt. Okay, no, I'm just saying. We have tender hearts, and we want to have tender hearts, okay? So being offended, again, not so much just getting your feelings hurt, okay, but again, goes down that where you fall out of the path of walking in the light, and we are not faithful anymore. We stumble spiritually into sin. Okay, that's what I mean by offense. So how much does it take for me to get offended? Do I become offended way too easily? Oh, me? How much can I endure before I turn away? How resilient am I to offenses? When I get my feelings hurt, and we all do, when things don't go my way, you know, when I get hurt physically, when I get hurt emotionally, do I stay gracious anyway? Do I stay faithful anyway? And of course, one of my heroes, I think of Job. What a hero. What a blessing. He wasn't offended. I mean, he was upset. He was hurt. And of course, he was in pain. But he never cursed God. And he didn't, you know, he cursed himself. But he, of course, was faithful to the Lord through it all. He did question God at the end, which he realized he should not have. Okay. But overall, he came through like gold. And if you look at verse 2, this is the context or the magnitude of the offense that was coming the disciples' way. And then I'm going to put myself in my own ministry or my own life and kind of compare the two. Look at verse 2. So Jesus says he doesn't want them to be offended. All right. But look at the context here. Verse 2. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. Wow. So Jesus was talking about them being outcasts, being killed, being martyred. And when that happens, don't be offended. And I'm thinking to myself, boy, I got a ways to go. Sometimes someone just says something with a bad attitude to me, and all of a sudden, like, fine, forget that. I'm not gonna witness anymore, or whatever, you know. Or how much can I put up with? And I think of what the disciples did. Like, wow, they're going to be killed for their faith. And the context is very similar, because those that are attacking them, that are going to be killing them, will think that he doeth God's service. Which again, isn't that kind of what can get under our skin sometimes? Isn't that what a lot of us can find offensive? Is when, you know, we're right, okay, and they're wrong, but they think we're wrong, and they think they're right, okay, which is what these folks against the disciples would think, right? And so it's easy for us, like, oh, I can't stand it. Well, that's going to happen. May we pray for spiritual maturity, so that we don't respond like a child who gets offended. We don't have that fleshly knee-jerk reaction to retaliate, but have that spiritual fortitude, as the Lord Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, to turn the other cheek. Wow. Don't fight fire with fire, of course. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good, right? And Jesus tells us, he tells the disciples, remember, offenses will come. This is a fact of life. He said in Matthew 18:7, woe unto the world because of offenses. And so this world is cursed. What else would we expect but cursings to come out of a cursed world? For it must needs be that offenses come. That's what Jesus said. It's going to happen. Brace for impact. But woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. And Jesus and the Lord is going to punish those that cause the offense. And so that we know that. But may we not be offended when that hits us. You know, and I think of myself. Too many times, our focus is on avoiding offenses, which of course will come, that's regardless. But too many times we focus on trying to dodge or avoid offenses instead of maturing in our faith so that when they do come, because it's not if, but when, we can deal with it in the spirit, not the flesh. You know, yes, God will punish those that cause the offense, but the challenge for you and I is that when offenses come, that we don't be offended and that we don't stay offended. Don't be easily offended. Now, easier said than done. So point number two, all right. So how do we not be offended? Well, look at verse 3. It boils down to this, friends, your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because this is what Jesus is telling his disciples now. He's giving them the heads up, okay, so it's his word, but it's because of their relationship with the God of the universe. In fact, I remember that this testimony of this preacher. He was on a plane, and he sat next to a Muslim gentleman, and, you know, they were talking, and, you know, and brought up the idea that the Muslim confessed that he's a sinner. He knew that, and he said to the preacher, he said, "Boy, I still hope that God forgives me," you know. And then to which the preacher responded, "Well, I know God personally, and he's not going to, not without Jesus Christ." And to which the Muslim man was just shocked. He said, "Wait, you know God personally? You know him personally?" "Yeah, I know God personally." And let that sink in. What a wonderful thought. If you're saved, my friends, we know God personally. That's something that the world does not have. The unsaved do not have that. Okay, and Jesus emphasized it in verse 3. He says, "And these things will they do unto you, those that cause the offense." Because, well, that's going to happen. "Because they have not known the Father, nor me." Of course, we know the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. To know the Son is to know the Father. To reject Jesus is to reject God the Father. It's, you know, he and his Father are one. Praise the Lord. One being, one God. And so in three persons. But what a reminder. They don't know God. Our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, even though those offending us might think they are right, they're not. Of course, unless they are, then we need to repent. Okay, but the idea is if they're not, of course, that they don't know God. And remember, the only thing that really matters is not what people think of us, it's what God thinks of us, not what man does. Even when others never see our point of view, as long as we are seeing it from God's point of view, that's what matters. In fact, when it comes to unbelievers who are offending us, they can never see God's point of view because they don't know God. We shouldn't just not be offended at them. In fact, we should be praying that they get saved because that's the only way they can see the truth. It's the only way they can see light. Remember what Jesus said. He said, "He that heareth you and I, disciples of him, heareth me. And he that despiseth you, despiseth me. And he that despiseth me, despiseth him that sent me." That's God the Father. And so how do we know God's point of view? Because that's all that matters. People will be offended at us. But if we see things the way God sees things, that's all that matters. Let's go to verse 4. Look at the first half of verse 4. "But these things have I told you." Right here, friends, this is God's holy word. God has spoken his word to us. We have it. Praise God. It's his word that keeps us from being offended when things happen in life that we, again, you know, don't desire. "That when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them." Now, there's context in verse 4 here that might not be initially apparent. And that context here is spiritual growth. You know, Jesus was telling his disciples in person at the start of his ministry. Jesus was with his disciples in person at the start of his ministry. He didn't need to tell them not to be offended. Okay, he's telling them now because he's going to go away. He's going to die. He's going to be crucified. He's going to rise from the dead, and he's going to ascend. So he's going to leave them in that sense. And so now that's why he's telling them don't be offended. He did not have to tell that to them at the start of his ministry because he was literally right by them, and he would have held their hand through any hardship to make sure that they didn't get offended. He would have held their hands through any offense that came. But now that he's going away, in fact, go to same verse, the second half. "And these things I said not to you at the beginning because I was with you." And so now the idea is the context is in his with his coming absence, because they would now be on their own, they need to be spiritually mature enough to stand on their own and not be offended, right? And because before he was hand-holding them, and he would make sure that they would be go through the storms okay, and now he's about to leave. He's like, okay, guys, I'm going to ascend. The Holy Spirit will come. He will comfort you. He will empower you. He will strengthen you. And then his challenge and charge, the instruction to them, don't be offended. Please don't be offended. I'm telling you now, so when the storms hit, because it's going to hit in the hardest way, you'll be cast out of the synagogue, you'll be branded a traitor, you'll be martyred. Don't be offended. But again, the application is spiritual growth. And so the idea is, this is a huge truth, to not be offended when storms hit in life is a sure sign of spiritual maturity. That we just hang in there, that we still turn the other cheek after being mocked over and over again. Feels as though we're just kind of a punching bag or a pin cushion. I mean, there's all these thoughts. But be faithful. Trust the Lord. He takes care of us. And to some degree, what if I am offended? Because at some point, you know, we're fallible. We're just people, right? We're sinners saved by grace. But at some point, all of us have perhaps been offended to some degree, to some point, right? And so the important thing is, of course, not to stay offended. Well, how do we do that? Well, remember the words of Jesus. In fact, let's go back to John 15, previous chapter. John 15, verse 17. In fact, our main verse, when Jesus says in John 16, 1, "These things have I spoken unto you," he's referring to chapter 15. Okay, so this all goes together. But John 15, look at verse 17. Remembering our Lord's words. And so this is how we don't get offended. This is how we don't stay offended. Look at verse 17. It says here, "These things I command you, that ye love one another." It is so intentional and awesome that the Lord says he commands us, because a commandment doesn't need to be certainly prayed about, not in that sense. Just need to be obeyed. A commandment is not whether you feel like it, whether we get around to it. A commandment is just, yes, sir. And the commandment is that we love one another. That's amazing. That's how the body of Christ, God desires his body to be. Loving one another, of course, keeps us from being offended by fellow Christians, right? Peter tells us, "For charity shall cover the multitude of sins." And when we truly love one another, even when things don't play out the way I want it to, Lord willing, we won't be offended. Lord willing, I won't quit loving some brother or sister in Christ just because, reacted the way I didn't care for, and I don't want to become bitter. I don't want to become offended. What about non-Christians? Well, keep going. Verse 18. "If the world hate you," now speaking about unbelievers, "if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you." And so if the unbelievers, if they bring offenses to us, well, we know it's because they're not of the Lord. They don't know the Lord. If ye were of the world would love his own. So in fact, it's a good indicator that we're with the Lord when the world offends us. Amen. That world, now don't be offended, but offenses will come because we are of the Lord. The world would love his own. "But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you." Boy, this is very humbling for me, because I desire to be loved by everyone. That's just my nature, my personality. I love to win people. It hurts my feelings when they don't like me. You know, like, "Oh, what can I do to make you like me?" Well, what the Lord tells us, be faithful to the Lord. Don't be offended, Wing, when they slam that door in your face. Don't be offended if they ghost you. Don't be offended if they break up with you, right? This is what happens. And so remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. I don't want to be betrayed. Happened to Jesus, our Lord. They'll betray us. If we are faithful to him, they'll betray us. "If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also." In other words, like our job description. You know, you have all these things, other duties as assigned, and so must be betrayed. Like, again, not always, okay, but you get the idea. We will go through hardships because the unsaved, They don't have the Spirit of God. They don't see things the way God does. And they hate Satan and the world. They hate God and his people. But all these things, verse 21, will they do unto you for my name's sake. Why? Because they know not him that sent me. Jesus, of course, is our example, and he took all the hits. He took all the suffering, all the persecution, yet Jesus never became offended. When he was on the cross of Calvary, he said, what? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What a prayer. What a prayer. And so even as we kind of prime our hearts for the prayer time tonight, what a thought. If someone has hurt our feelings, you know, if someone has offended us, and we have been offended, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus had proclaimed a woe to them. Woe to them by whom the offense cometh. I mean, they're going to get what's coming to them. May I not be offended so they don't take me down with them, right? So to speak. And so remember the Lord's words. He tells us in John 15, love the brethren and love the world. Pray for the unsaved to get saved. Love the unsaved in the sense that we pray for them to get saved. And then keep praying for one another. Repent if I do have some offense that I need to repent of. Recognize that it is sin to be offended, to fall away from the truth. It is unbecoming for a Christian to be offended from that sense. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Spirit of God that comforts us. Trust God to work his will in our lives is what God desires us to do. That he would give us the love for the brethren and for the lost. Jesus said in verse 1, chapter 16, again, we'll recap it. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. However small or however not small, however large offenses we had gone through in life, may it make us better, not bitter. Give it to the Lord. Cast it to the Lord. Lord, this is, may you be glorified in my life. May we show the love of Christ. And we might not see any fruit of that this side of glory, but we will at the judgment seat of Christ. Amen. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, what a simple reminder, Lord, not to be offended. Lord, you don't desire us to be offended. You certainly don't desire us to stay offended, Lord. Woe and woe is me, Lord. Oh me, Lord, and that we are just, I'm just in the flesh, Lord. And so, Father, we plead the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you for his finished work on Calvary's cross. Thank you, Father. Sometimes, you know, as I pull a Peter and just do what I shouldn't do, Lord, I thank you that you know our heart. Lord, you know that we love you. And so, Father, we just ask for your grace. We ask for your mercy. Help me, Lord, not to to get over certain offenses, Lord, that we reach forward, pressing on to the prize of the mark of the high calling of God, Lord, that we leave those things that are behind. Lord, that we keep serving you with our whole heart, that we turn the other cheek, that we live in this in the Spirit, and that we mature, Lord. Help us to mature spiritually, Lord, so that we can handle these offenses, that we can, as you take the training wheels off, Lord, that we would ride and not stumble and be offended into the ditch, Lord. We give you all the praise. We thank you, Lord, for this time of prayer. Bless this time of corporate prayer even now. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise Lord.